This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for Tuesday, January 17th, 2023. I'm Derek Gilbert. Please remember Skywatch TV's Defender Virtual Conference, Exposing the Darkness, continues through February 4th. The sign-up, that is. You get 90 days access to all content from the day you sign up. More details coming up after the break. Topic number 5 today, the White House and Facebook. Proof has emerged that the White House was coordinating directly with Facebook to censor information deemed misinformation or disinformation during the pandemic. This came out during a lawsuit filed by the state of Missouri, our home state here, against the Biden White House. And during the discovery phase of the Missouri v. Biden lawsuit alleging social media censorship efforts by the White House, Louisiana's Attorney General Jeff Landry found documents proving that the government was directly involved in shutting down discussions deemed, unacceptable during the pandemic. Now, the White House had no right to insist that social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, this lawsuit dealing specifically with Facebook or the White House and its control of social media, the documents relating specifically to communication between the White House and Facebook. You know, it's one thing if Facebook or Twitter or any social media site decides to shut down users on its own. You may not like it, but it's their sandbox. They set the rules. But for the White House to do this is unacceptable. This is a violation of our First Amendment rights. The White House is getting around its unconstitutional censorship of free speech by very quietly, behind the scenes, pressuring social media companies by Facebook to do this. And this new lawsuit now has turned up evidence that this is, in fact, what was going on. In a press release, Louisiana Attorney General Landry said, "Government censorship is bipartisan. If they don't like you, they will censor you regardless of your political affiliation. No one is safe when the First Amendment is violated," end quote. Topic number 4, tanks and nuclear drones. Russia on Monday warned the United Kingdom that sending its Challenger 2 main battle tank to Ukraine will cross a red line, or at least a spokesman who is friendly to the Kremlin said this. The Kremlin promising that these tanks will burn just like the rest of Ukraine's tanks. And while this is going on, Russia has manufactured its first batch of high-speed Poseidon underwater drones, which are said to be capable of wiping out entire coastlines with radioactive tsunamis. That reported on Monday. This weapon, which reportedly could cause a 1,600-foot tsunami, is alleged to have an almost unlimited range, certainly enough range to cross the ocean and to avoid detection because it's moving too quickly for sonar to get a bead. 125-mile-per-hour underwater propulsion system, which is a closely guarded Russian secret. Now, is this a real weapon? I'm sure that there are many, many people inside the CIA and the Department of Defense working on this right now, but we've been seeing reports about this in Russian media for the last couple of years. This, again, the announcement of the release of this first batch of Poseidon drones came just as Vladimir Putin's friend called on state TV for Britain to be demolished from the face of the earth for promising those Challenger 2 tanks. Retired General Andrei Gurilev claimed on the Rosia 1 network that the deployment of British and German tanks now, which is also under consideration, amounts to crossing a red line. We are stumbling towards World War III. Topic number 3, carbon credits. The World Economic Forum meeting this week in Davos, Switzerland. And while that is happening, a German scientist is calling for an individual carbon dioxide limit to save Mother Gaia. Now, he didn't put it that way, but that's really what this is about. He wants to establish a planetary guardrail by limiting each of us to no more than 3 tons of CO2 emissions over the course of a year. Hans Joachim Schellenhuber from the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research said that that should be the limit for the year. People who exceed that 3-ton limit should be forced to pay for the extra carbon emissions. See, in a carbon credit type scheme, those who go over the 3-ton limit by the middle of 2050 would, or the middle of the century, by 2050, would need to privately purchase credits from those who are under the limit. So those who are living a very green, sustainable lifestyle could sell their excess credits to those of us who want to, you know, stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer. At present, according to the German media outlet that reported this interview, the average German citizen currently produces about 11 tons of carbon over the course of a year. We Americans are at 12 tons. This, citing the Paris World Inequality Lab, there are some millionaires around Germany who are over 100 tons of CO2 per year. And worldwide, when you start getting into the billionaire category, the people who fly private jets to places like Davos so they can determine how the rest of us should, you know, cut back on our energy consumption, some of those use up more than 2,000 tons of carbon per year. But this is an old idea. A fellow named Patrick M. Wood, whom I've interviewed in the past, author of a book called Technocracy Rising, which I highly recommend, pointed out in his research for the book that technocrats have been pushing this idea of a carbon currency since the 1930s. This idea that we should get an allowance, essentially, a guaranteed income based on using so much, tying it to our carbon emissions. And then again, if we exceed that, we get penalized, we get rewarded if we use less. This, again, aimed at cutting the amount of carbon dioxide put into the atmosphere, which we here in the American Midwest refer to as plant food. Why are we trying to starve plant life on Earth by cutting back on carbon dioxide? I have not heard a good scientific explanation for that. The World Economic Forum sees this, by the way, as an integral part of its Great Reset. And that leads to topic number two as the World Economic Forum meetings continue. If you're interested in being bored to tears or need something to help drone you off to sleep, you can watch the recording of the live stream of the sessions, which are being streamed around the world from Davos, Switzerland. Klaus Schwab, the CEO of the World Economic Forum, by the way, not at the meetings. His wife, Hilda, is standing in for Klaus. He's having reportedly an unspecified medical issue and unable to attend. There are 13, or were scheduled to be, 13 representatives from the United States government attending the World Economic Forum meetings. But interestingly, for reasons unexplained, Republican Senator James Risch of Idaho and Representative Mike Gallagher, who's a Republican from Wisconsin, have decided at the last minute not to attend. They're suddenly not on their calendars. They're not going to Davos. Their staff's confirmed to Jordan Schachtel, an independent journalist who writes at Substack, that they are not going to make the trip. The World Economic Forum promoting the metaverse as an idea for harnessing technology to transform the future of public-private cooperation. Public-private cooperation is a gentle way of saying fascism, where the government really tells business what to do. According to the WEF website, the World Economic Forum is partnered with Microsoft and Accenture to lay the foundations of the Global Collaboration Village, a new metaverse platform aimed at fostering virtual multi-stakeholder cooperation. The idea is to transform capitalism from shareholder capitalism, where a companies or corporations' board of directors are beholden to those who actually own the company, trying to make money within the laws and ethical constraints of modern society, to stakeholder capitalism, where anybody who is affected by a business operations, whether you own a piece of it or not, get to say how the business, have a say in how that business is run. Again, it effectively makes businesses just extensions of the government. There are two recent economies that we can point to as examples of the kind of stakeholder capitalism that the World Economic Forum wants to impose on the rest of us. One was, is modern China, frankly. Modern-day China, present-day China. The other is Nazi Germany. That's what they want for us. And they see this metaverse, this virtual meeting space, as a way for stakeholders to collaborate, for businesses, international organizations, governments, civil society, public figures to work together. In other words, they essentially want to use the Matrix to bring us all under the control of a central government organization. Coming up, banning electric vehicles. This is news. That's next on 5 and 10.
Now, at the SkywatchTVStore.com, you're going to find the Walk by Faith special offer. Now, this offer includes three masterpiece works. First, you're going to receive, of course, Dorothy Spalding's new book, We Walk by Faith, Not by Sight, where you'll journey with Dorothy across the United States in an epic act of faith. You'll also discover how to hear the voice of God and carry it through, never wavering or quitting when times get tough. You're going to discover how to identify the secrets of prevailing prayer, tenacity, and courage, which I think Dorothy embodies, and you can tell that as she's here sharing her story, and learn to be a bold and fearless witness of Jesus Christ. But that's not all. You're also going to receive Dr. Thomas Horn's true biographical book, The Boy from El Mirage, where you'll learn how Tom cheated death three times and came to discover why God spared him for a kingdom purpose. This biography covers everything from how he met his lifelong mate, Nita, his early years as a pastor, supernatural events that he's experienced in his long and storied life, and most importantly, it's a call to action and message of truth for everybody today. And finally, you'll receive the biographical book, No Fences, by Whispering Ponies Ranch founder Nita Horn, where you'll experience her journey from devastation to tenderness, humor, and warmth. From surviving poverty and discovering an invisible God who has a plan for all of our lives, No Fences is an intimate and revealing narrative of losing dreams, getting them back, and the faith journey in between. Altogether, these three masterpieces hold a retail value of $60, yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to miss out on this incredible opportunity to get this book, We Walk by Faith, Not by Sight. I promise you will be inspired and you'll learn a ton.
Item number one today, Wyoming says more carbon. Not really, but what they are doing in contrary to jurisdictions like the states of California, New York, United Kingdom, other governments around the world, moving towards banning the sale of internal combustion engines powered by gasoline, the state of Wyoming legislature there is considering a resolution that calls for phasing out the sale of electric vehicles by the year 2035. This was introduced to the Wyoming Senate on Friday. Resolution 4 has support from members of the state's House of Representatives and Senate. In this resolution, a group of lawmakers, led by Senator Jim Anderson, said Wyoming's proud and valued oil and gas industry has created countless jobs and contributed revenue to the state's coffers. And so they want to ask Wyoming voters to commit to just not buying EVs by 2035, saying that the widespread use of electric vehicles is impracticable and the state would need to build massive amounts of new power generation to sustain the misadventure of electric vehicles. Now, this would be a resolution. It wouldn't be a law. So it's more symbolic than anything else. And to that end, if it passes, the state of Wyoming plans to send copies of this to Gavin Newsom, Joe Biden, and others to make a point. I say, hear, hear, let's get this going in the state of Missouri and everywhere else where you're, electric vehicles, the carbon footprint to create the batteries is actually greater than the carbon footprint from existing internal combustion powered vehicles. SkyWatch TV's virtual conference. There are some advantages to being at home and being able to set the schedule of a conference on your own, to be able to pause a presentation in the middle while you get a snack or take care of other errands or what have you. And you can sign up for our conference, Exposing the Darkness, through February 4th. You get 90 days access to 24 cutting-edge presentations and, as a free bonus, all 6 feature-length documentaries from SkyWatch Films. Find out more, sign up now while you still can. Take advantage of this through February 4th at DefenderConference.com. That's DefenderConference.com. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ saved her life twice, literally, talking about Dorothy Spalding, author of the new book, We Walk by Faith, Not by Sight. Hear her story. She tells it to Joe Horn and the SkyWatch investigative team on this week's broadcast. You'll find our over-the-air broadcast schedule online at skywatchtv.com/channels, but you can watch the program right now at skywatchtv.com. Our programs are all there, all of our video content right there. We've also got the main program back on YouTube at youtube.com/skywatchtv now. You can also watch it on your big screen, but just by adding the SkyWatch TV app to Roku or Apple TV. It is a free app. You can also download all of our programs right to your smartphone or tablet. Use Google's Chromecast or Apple's AirPlay to cast the video from your mobile device to your big screen. You can do that wirelessly. As long as they're on the same Wi-Fi network, it's really easy to do. And this app is absolutely free of charge and available for iOS, Android, and Amazon Kindle Fire phones and tablets. We have links to the app stores at our website. For your convenience, you'll find it at skywatchtv.com. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.